Hello and good evening and welcome once again to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. Being Mindful is our broadcast here on PHBC Radio where we look at and we discuss and we explore issues relating to our quality of life as Christians, and they could be issues relating to finance or family or politics, health. Oh, did you hear that? I was heckled. Or health, or education, whatever is going, current affairs, social affairs, history, the church, the whole lot. I am Pastor Deji, and as you heard, my heckler, I am joined in the studio with my wonderful co-host, Lillian Larte, laughing Lillian Larte. We love to have a laugh on this show.
Yes.
Today, we have with us a very, you might have detected a third voice there, giving a little in the background. We have a very, very super special guest with us.
Extraordinary special guest.
All the way from Virginia, USA. We have with us Phyllis Ellis, Pastor Phyllis, Mama Phyllis,
yes.
Mom Nona. She goes by all sorts of names, depending on who you are. So don't get your pronouns mixed up. Don't get your titles mixed up. So welcome. Welcome. You listen, we'd love for you to send us your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your contributions. And you can reach us via social media if you use the tag at PHBC London. And just send us a direct message. It'll come through to us here in the studio. As is our practice on Being Mindful, we like to check in with one another just to see where we are, see what a guan with each other's lives. And so today I'm going to start with you, Lillian. Lillian.
Yes, Pastor.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Wow, what's on my mind? Well, I'm still enjoying the summer. I'm glad it's extended. Yes, a late summer. That's, you know, this is my type of weather. So, yep, I'm still enjoying that. And looking forward to September because we're halfway through August.
When you say looking forward to September, by the time this is September.
Oh, okay.
Because August.
Yes. Well, September. Hello, September. Another new year. Back to school, back to college.
So basically, this is a pre-recording. We recorded this at the end of August. But by the time this is going out, you can't be saying, I'm looking forward to September, can you?
No, Pastor, sorry. I'm still looking forward to September.
All right.
We're in September.
September 2025.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what to say. I don't know.
The year has gone by really, really quickly. And we're in the final months of 2024. And it's, you know, normally we pick up speed. The world seems to pick up speed anyway.
It's spider season, though. Yes, you don't know about spider season?
No.
Lillian, do you live in a hermetically sealed house?
No, there are spiders all the time.
No. This is spider season. So at the end of summer, as it starts to cool and the weather gets cool, all of a sudden the spiders get a little bit frisky.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they're just everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just everywhere. So spider season is after the heat, out come the spiders.
Oh, wow. I don't know, maybe it's just where I live, but we always have spiders, so.
Really?
Yeah. Constantly.
I did I ever tell you about my arrangement with Jesus? We have a contract. I mean, I signed it. He hasn't signed his bit, but I've signed it, and that's all that matters. And that is, if something has more than four legs, I have permission to get rid of it.
So
more than four legs.
Maker.
More than four legs. Yeah, more than four legs. So not four-legged creatures are
Pastor.
Okay. But more than four legs, me and you and only one, there can be only one winner.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we have I signed my end of that contract and, you know, I gave it to him. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
It's very interesting.
So that's what's on your mind. End of summer. You're enjoying the rest of summer.
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mama Phyllis, what's on your mind?
Mm, this conversation's on my mind right now about the spiders.
So, first of all, welcome. Forgive me. I didn't properly welcome you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to Being Mindful.
Thank you.
Welcome to England, London again.
Yes.
Yes. You've been coming for a little while, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, as Lillian asked?
What's on my mind? Well, when Lillian was talking about September, you know, there's a lot of birthdays of people I know that's celebrated in September. But, you know, we're at that peak moment where things are changing, the season's getting ready to change. Mm. And because things are changing in the natural, things are changing in every genre. We see that happening. We see it happening globally. There's a lot of changes. So I think that there's a lot relating to when you see something changing, the seasons and the natural things are changing also in the spirit. And you can feel that change, like Pastor Deji was saying about the spiders coming out. It's their time to come out, and it's a time for a lot of things to change. Some surprises, some strange looking spiders, and we're seeing some strange things happening, you know, in different areas of government and in our own personal lives. Things are changing. So we're in when change happens like that, even in the seasons, we're in an opportune moment to experience some new things. It depends on what your perspective is. So you can see a spider as a deadly thing, or you can see a spider as not having that same type of control over your life, and you that spider is now subject to you. That's exactly right. And you have the right to what? To evict it, or you have the right to destroy it.
I think Mama Felice is preaching.
Even now.
I'm just saying, I look at it because that's your domain. Yes. He's the intruder.
Yes, yes.
Or are we the intruder?
No.
No. Spider ain't paying no rent in the house. Stop it.
Look, I forgot the kid. Okay. Absolutely. That's right. He is the intruder. And he's going to see whether or not you allow him. And if you notice that spiders, when they come into your home, they go up high, try to get out of your reach. But he forgets you have a broom, and you also have that can of spray. And it says raid, invade. So you have dominion, you know?
So I'm glad I'm not a spider in New York.
Yeah.
You can tell she's my mom, right?
Yes. Yes.
This is absolutely wonderful. I mean, you were talking about all sorts of spiders, and then you're absolutely right, because you get some really, really tiny ones. You get some skinny ones, and then you get these like hairy, meaty ones that, you know, they look like you can fry them and have a meal.
I wouldn't go that far, me personally.
They're all unappetizing to me. I just don't enjoy. But what you're saying is you have different sizes. You have different things that come to invade your life. They come to be opposing.
Yes.
You know, and how you regard it. You know, you can be passive and say, you know, I'll leave you alone.
It is
if
what
you
it
leave
is.
Me alone. Absolutely. But the thing is, you have to remember when the lights are out, they come down.
Yes.
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 What a mess. This whole instruction.
When all is quiet, they come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nobody there.
Yes. Exactly.
They start snooping. They start moving into spaces and places.
That's right. And sometimes they come in your place of rest. You're in your bed. You wake up in the morning. You say, well, where does that bite come from? You know, why is it itching like that? Because you allowed it to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we're getting into something else, but
spider.
He opened the door about the spiders. You know, because to me they're a type of a predator, you know. They're looking for a way to take over your space, and I'm not going to let them take over my space. I fought for my space. I want my space, you know. So
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is what we're in store for, folks, for our show today.
Honestly.
Pastor Deji, what's on your mind?
It is summer related as well. Pardon?
Oh no, you haven't shared yet.
No, it's summer related as well. Just reflecting on Pollard's Hill Community Fund Day 2024.
Awesome.
Our biggest one yet.
Yeah.
The people that came, the atmosphere. And just coming down, I suppose, the anticlimax from the stress, the organization, the setup, the pack up, and some of the challenges that were faced on the day. But nevertheless, giving God thanks for the opportunity and the ability to step out in such a way, having the community in mind. You know, the whole objective was about the community, and the vision was about the community. It was about the people of Pollard Hill. So yeah, still just coming down from that, you know, some of the stuff that happened, you know, being a little bit reflective and thinking, okay, what are the lessons learned? You know, how can we ensure that we're still meeting the needs of the community, being a blessing to the community through a language that the community understands? You know, how can we ensure we're still doing that? How can we ensure, we're blessing them with a gift that's going to mean something to them? You know, I think sometimes as church, not just church thing, even as organizations, fantastic. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Was it Gary Smalley who wrote the book Five Love Languages?
Chapman.
That's right, Gary Chapman. Now, Gary Chapman wrote Five Love Languages, and he's talking about how there's a love language for each individual. There's also a love language for that community. And so sometimes what we do when we buy somebody a gift, we buy them a gift that we like. You know, some people, some people like, you know, Mom, do you prefer milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
I prefer milk, but I have to eat dark.
You have to eat. Folks, listeners, one day, Lillian has said this many times, one day we're going to get a camera in here and we're going to stream this show live.
We will.
So you can see, you know, you can see facial expressions as we say certain things. Now, okay, do you prefer milk chocolate or dark chocolate?
White chocolate.
White chocolate, fantastic. I'm so glad you said that. So good. You prefer white chocolate. I prefer milk chocolate. Now imagine me saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to buy Lillian a great gift and I buy you milk chocolate. You'll be like, okay, that's fine. But it's not chocolate where I've gone a little bit out of my way to do something that suits you, what you like, what you want, what works for you. I've gone with what works for me by, you know, insisting I'm going to buy you milk chocolate. And sometimes as organizations, as corporations, we do that. The organization says, we know if it was us, this is what we want, and so that we're going to do it our way and give it to them as a gift. And these people, they receive that gift because it's like, well, aw, from the kindness of your heart. Not necessarily, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I would have gotten for myself. And so one of the things that's really important for us as church, if we say we're doing something for the community, we have to have a bit of a sense of what we think the community would like, if you understand what I mean. What do we think they would want? What do we think they would like? And so for us in this moment, in this time of reflection post Fun Day, is about saying, you know, what happened on the 24th of August? Was that, you know, was our objective in keeping with what the community needs, wants, what can work within the community? So in this sort of moment, it's a time now post Fun Day to reflect on that, you know, and to say, you know, this what are we doing? And next time we're doing something for community, is it about the community or is it singularly about our objective?
You know. I just wanted to say something about that, because that's a very valid point, because you find out that if you go through church history, you find that churches came in to almost colonize areas. And when they came in with their own ideology of how they should do it. And regardless of understanding the culture they were coming into and trying to, in some ways, adapt themselves and imposing their ideas on different cultures. And we tend to do that today, realizing we're coming in, we're going to come in as your savior and we're going to change, you know. And when you give someone a gift, you familiarize yourself with that area. That's what Jesus did. He came, he made himself, he was the Son of God, you know, but he made himself the Son of Man and the Son of God. And he came in with compassion. We come in with pride and arrogance and say, say, I have something, you need it, take it. Yeah. You know, and you come
it's
into a community.
It's working for you.
Absolutely. Just take it. Yeah. It's always worked in the past. But if you know anything about the Lord, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. But what he was saying, that my principles and my laws won't change, but I'm the God that understands where you are, and I'm going to give you what you need. And I want a vessel who's going to humble himself when he comes and give you what you need, you know, and not make you feel like I'm shoving it down your throat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire about Pastor Deji, being honest. Okay. And the thing is, he has that compassion for the community, you know, and the people that are working with him have a vision for the community, and they're listening to the heartbeat of the community, and he's coming in to validate something that already works. It's been working, but not the way you expect it. You know, he's not coming in to shove it down your throat, but he knows there's a vision that God has, that God's given you. Pollard Hill Baptist Church has a vision for the community.
Yeah.
And you want to say, here, I want to give you this, and I want you to receive it, because not only do I know it's going to work, but I've heard your need. I know what's there. And I want to cooperate and work with you. We can do this together, you know, and not just take it,
Yeah.
you know.
Or use it as a tick box exercise.
Exactly, exactly. Well, so in a let's go to music break, and then we'll. What I wanted to do was to introduce our topic, and then we'll take a music break and come back. So Lillian, what's our key focus for today's topic?
Our key focus today is looking at women in ministry.
Looking at women in ministry.
Yeah.
Ooh, la 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 la. Okay, I think we can pause it there, and then let's listen to a piece of music. This lady is Sherry Ann Morn. She is a worshiper out of the Caribbean, and mom's sake, Pastor Phyllis, Mama Phyllis, for her sake, for the Caribbean, which is what is how the Americans say.
Oh, okay, Caribbean.
Yes, Caribbean.
Okay.
So, just to interpret, you know, in case she wasn't what these people, what English these people are speaking. And the song is a danceable track, so listeners, kick your shoes off or put them on. The song is called Born to Worship.
Born to worship and created to sing your praises. I live to honor you, long to see your face. worship you, I will worship you.
The highest praise. Amen. That was Sherry Ann Morn with Born to Worship. Hope you danced. Hope you enjoyed that track. You are listening to Being Mindful. If you've just joined us, Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we discuss issues relating to our quality of life, the fullness of life as Christians. I'm Pastor Deji, your host for this evening. I'm joining me in the studio is my usual co-host. I mean, listen, send in a message. Is it joined with or joined by? Joined to? No, with. Anyway, send a message. Let me know.
I'm in the studio with.
I'm joined in the studio.
With.
I'm joined in the studio by.
Oh my goodness.
In the studio. Also in the studio. Also in the studio is my co-host, Lillian Larte, and our very special guest, Pastor Phyllis Ellis, all the way from Virginia, U.S. of A. Yay. So welcome. This evening we're discussing the call to ministry, particularly for women in ministry.
Yes. So, Pastor Phyllis, or Mama Phyllis, as I like to call you.
Yes.
We would like to know, us women... We would like to know. So, what made you go into ministry? Number one, what called you to be a pastor? Tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are at now.
Well, let me start with the fact that I had graduated from high school in 1978. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm dating myself, but it's okay.
Wow.
And I had gone to. I was accepted at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, and which was an all-black university. And the famous Jubilee Singers, who are very known in the United States, started there. And they were known all over. And that was in the early 1900s. And so when I went to... when I went to the school, I was having difficulty because my focus was I was majoring in political science and I wanted to be a criminal lawyer. And nothing was working out for me there.
Wow.
So it had gotten to the place that I cried out to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing if I'm not supposed to be here? What am I supposed to be doing? And, you know, I realized he didn't call me there. So I ended up leaving the university, and I went home just to reflect on some things, reflect on where my life was going. Ended up going home. My family was going away on vacation to Virginia to visit some other family members, my other siblings who lived in Virginia at that time. And when I got there, ended up visiting a church, accepted the Lord as my Savior, got filled with the Holy Spirit within a matter of 3 days.
Wow.
This took place. And, fortunately, the place that I received the Lord was also a missionary training center. And I ended up staying there. My family thought I had lost my mind because as I was leaving Fisk University, I had also put in an application to go to Penn State University. And I was accepted. And I told my mother, I can't go. And she said, I don't understand why. I said, because I feel like now I'm home at the Missionary Training Center, and this is where I should be. And I ended up being a missionary for 10 years.
Wow.
And I traveled throughout Africa. I traveled East Africa, Europe, and Canada, United States. God just opened many doors for me to travel. And I knew that this was the place I was supposed to be. I didn't question it anymore because I wasn't comfortable with being a lawyer. I was doing it because I thought this was except what my family wanted me to do, not knowing it wasn't where God had even called me until he spoke to me.
So when you say you felt comfortable, you knew that this is where you should be. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to you? Did it feel like natural? Did it feel exciting?
The struggle wasn't there anymore.
Okay.
I wasn't combating with my identity anymore. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's like when someone goes to purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
You've looked at so many homes, mm-hmm. and you know, just something about it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
When you walked in that home, it doesn't matter what it looks like, you know that this was the place you were supposed to reside.
Mm-hmm.
This was the place that you identified with. I felt that way about the call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had received an invitation from the Lord, and I knew this was the place I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just said, okay, I don't have to search anymore. I knew law was not the place for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was ideal for my family, but it wasn't ideal for me.
Wow. So from missionary to now being a pastor, how mm-hmm. did that happen?
Well, just I knew God, you know, when you start out in your salvation, when you start out in your call, there's a progression that takes place,
sure.
you know, and you grow mm-hmm. exponentially, depending on how much time you invest in that relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to grow by leaps and bounds, or it can be that snail motivation. You know, you move slowly. Whatever mm-hmm. time you invest is what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
So I knew that as I was being trained as a missionary, it was much more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as a missionary, when you travel, you go to some places that aren't ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you eat what the people eat. You know, there's not going to be a Hilton hotel. There's not going to be a Marriott hotel. You know, you're in a hut. I lived in a hut many times. And there were scorpions, you know, in different places where I lived.
Is that spiders?
And there were spiders.
No. Hold on. I just have to interrupt. I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
You're comparing spiders to scorpions?
Yeah. Absolutely. But
listen, there are some spiders in Africa that look like scorpions, you know.
Well, some of them look like cows. Yeah, it
well, fair
on,
enough, fair enough.
Know,
but scorpions, I'm sorry. I'm not sleeping there. Forget that. You slept in a... It's bad enough having spiders. Scorpions, I'm sleeping in the car.
Yeah.
Can I just interject? There's a friend of mine who's an evangelist, and evangelist missionary, and he went to Haiti, I think it was, mm-hmm. or somewhere.
I've been there.
He slept with rats. Rats.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely.
Telling you.
Absolutely.
When he woke up in the morning, they'd eaten through his clothes. Mm-hmm. That he made a mistake of having chocolate in his bag.
Oh,
so they,
no.
All of that had been demolished. And oh my goodness, when he told us the stories, I'm telling you, I would be
it's
like,
one of those things you say, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
this is a
place
of ministry.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. And you do it for the sake of those that you're there to minister to, you know, mm-hmm. because I had malaria.
Wow.
I had got malaria. I was in Tevete, and I had been there during malaria season,
mm-hmm.
you know, where the mosquitoes come out mm-hmm. and say, you know, American blood.
Yeah, sweet blood.
Yes. Absolutely, you know, and I had been sick, but God miraculously healed me.
Wow.
And I was so thankful for that because, you know, when the call comes, like I said, things aren't going to be ideal. You eat what the people eat. And sometimes you have to be careful because I learned very early, because I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned very early that, you know, some places you go, if you don't eat the food, the people don't want to hear you preach.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have anything to do with you because they're giving you all they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like what you were talking about earlier. You know, you receive... You know,
their
you
want
to, that's exactly their hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all they had to give me was an egg. I ate it joyfully
mm-hmm.
and I thanked them for it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you want them to receive from you. And sometimes, you know, not sometimes, all the times it works when you humble yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you never go somewhere with pride and arrogance, mm-hmm. you know, and because you learn your lessons well. God taught me some lessons I do not want to repeat again. But when you're called, you know, God said, don't assume you know more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume you're coming in here because you're the Savior. I'm the Savior. You're working for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so make sure that when you go in with a spirit of humility,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I can teach you some good lessons.
Gosh, I could spend hours just asking you more questions around that, but mm-hmm. we only have a few minutes. So when did you become a pastor and how did that? How did that come about? Were you then assigned from being on the mission field, so to speak, to then being positioned in a church and then being ordained as a pastor, or did that happen throughout?
Well, I can tell you this. One of the first positions that I took up was in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And the pastor, Pastor Tolliver, I remember him very well. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He had become ill. Okay. And he needed someone to substitute for him. Mm-hmm. And so we went in and we worked for him for a while just to help him until he found another pastor come in. So I guess you could call us an interim pastor. Mm-hmm. We came in just to help him to do services for him on Sundays, which is really when they were doing services. Yeah. And you do that a lot. You come into those areas and you serve as pastor or assistant pastor just to help someone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you go in just to help them get their staff organized, and did that for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And that's really how I became to know as a pastor, by mm-hmm. doing that and working in that capacity for so long. But my heart is to travel. Mm-hmm. I love traveling and encountering people and seeing how their lifestyle is, and just knowing that, you know, when God leads you to certain areas, because God trusts you.
Yeah.
You know, he trusts you with what he's put into your hands. And it's just like someone feeding people. You know, you have to trust. What did the kings used to do in the Old Testament? Yes. You know, they had a taster. They mm-hmm. tasted their wine, they tasted their food.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're going in there and God is trusting you to be that taster for the people. Mm-hmm. You know, and you give them what you want to have.
Yeah.
You know, so you give them his best.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so women in ministry. Mm-hmm. I mean, ministry is a huge, huge area. Whether we're ordained as pastors, evangelists, worship leaders, even if you're a hostess, you know, because oftentimes the mistake of, you know, we can hear women in ministry and we just think it's kind of like big lights, you're well known, like Joyce Meyer or Christine Kane or something like that. But what about, you know, other areas of ministry like serving the teas and coffee, setting up the church for the Sunday, being a youth pastor, for example, or someone helping out with the children? Do you think that these are areas that are often overlooked when it comes to us being, I mean, I don't know, I didn't go to Bible school or Bible college or whatever, but some of us have come off from out of the world, off the street, into church, and we're just like, yeah, Lord, we're here to serve, you know, so we don't know any sort of criteria, so to speak, in ministry. Is there a criteria when it comes to being a woman in ministry?
I believe there is. Unfortunately, when you come into ministry, it depends on what church you're affiliated with too,
okay.
What they require. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that a number of women, we see them on large platforms, like you said, Joyce Myers, and we see others, who is it? Tony Evans's daughter. Mm-hmm. We see
Priscilla
Shearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see these women of God, and we sometimes, as young women, which I'm not, but as young women, we aspire to be like them, but we don't know the things that they walk to through to accomplish where they are, to get to the place where they are right now. Mm. And sometimes you walk through the fire, you walk through the flood, you know, you walk in those difficult places like Isaiah talks about, but the Lord said, when you walk through these places, you won't be burned, you know, neither will be the smell of smoke upon you. And so we look at them right now and we see a finished work. And even though they're still in the process, you know, we see that, but you don't know that when I became a part of the Missionary Training Center, you know, yes, there was times I led worship, but after the worship was over, they told me, Phyllis, there's a room down the other end of camp that needs to be cleaned. The toilet needs to be scrubbed, you know, or we need you to lay tile, or we need you to strip the wall, or we need you to put up paneling, you know. Mm. I learned those things. There were some people that were there that were skilled, and you learned how to do the basics before you learned how to stand on the platform.
Yes.
You know, they might not have gone through that type of training, but there were some, what we call boot camp. There's places that are some rough places that you go through, and there's places, and I can't deviate from that it gets the pride out, you know, and sometimes it beats it out of you, you know, and you say, Lord, you know, I didn't, you know, there were times that I mixed cement, you know, to help build certain things in the basement at that ministry, and it bore holes in my hand. Cement is something, you know, that's exactly right, you know, and I did that. I learned how to mix rock, cement and everything else, you know, and then the day you're tired. But if someone calls upon you and say, listen, I need you to go down there and do that service, sometimes you don't have time to take a shower. You throw something on, you get down there to the service, and you do what's required of you. And unfortunately, we only look at the glory aspect.
Yes.
There is work required, you know. That's why the word tells us you diligently. What does that word diligent mean? Means you put effort into it. You know, you persevere. You put sweat into it to get to the place that not where you want to be, but where God wants you to be.
Wow.
We don't choose to be evangelists. God chooses you to be an evangelist.
Yeah.
We don't choose to be pastors. God chooses you to be a pastor. And when you look at people, there's evident of their life when they're in the church, exactly. You know what they're doing, and it's not them doing it, it's Christ in them, we hope. But sometimes you can tell the difference.
Oh my goodness, Pastor, I think we need to do a part two or something. I don't know,
we
don't even have enough time. I haven't even touched on my questions that
we haven't
asked.
Pastor
Phyllis here,
and I think we need to do a part two. And what we can do, we'll do a remote part two.
We'll call you.
This pre-record business, we'll bring you in
live
on the next show, live, literally the next show. We'll bring you in live and for part two of this. And I think this is meaty stuff, meatier than a spider. And those of you who don't know what I meant, into the podcast on the PHBC radio app and start the show from the beginning, and you'll understand what I meant by that. Listen, let's take a little bit of a music break now. We're going to listen. Well, since we're talking about women in ministry, you know, we're talking about music, women in ministry, one of the foremost, you know, multi-award winning, internationally known, very gifted, very anointed. This is Cece Winans with All In Your Name.
All in your name.
it's in your name. Whatever it is that we want, peace, it's in his name. Joy, Amen. It's in his name.
Amen.
All that we want is in his name. He's paid it. And we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. You are listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. If you've just joined us, we've got our special guest with us here in the studio, Phyllis Ellis, who's a pastor out of Virginia in the USA. And we are talking about understanding the calling, particularly around women in ministry.
Yes.
And the call of God on your life, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And just before the break, we were hearing a little bit about the journey and what brought her to the point that she is. And she was talking about a little bit about the cost, you know, and how sometimes what we see is the glory. We see mm-hmm. the shine at the end. You know, we see the cake mm-hmm. and we're not seeing the beating of the eggs and the breaking of the eggs mm-hmm. and the beating of the flour and the, mm-hmm. you know, we're not seeing all of that part. We're not seeing the heat of the oven.
Yes.
You know, when it goes in that place and we shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else is feeling that fire like that, you know, like that, those ingredients. We see the cake at the end and we go, wow, this looks good. So welcome back. Welcome back. I'll hand back over to Lillian.
Thank you, Pastor. So, yes, all those points that you touched on earlier, Pastor Phyllis, is intriguing because these are experiences and stories we don't hear about nowadays, you know. I mean, I came into church. I say church. I mean, when I was younger, we were brought up in church. Mm-hmm. But then in our teens, we fell away. We did our own thing. We were out in the world, etc. And then in my mid-20s, the Lord, you know, he found me. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And then even then going into ministry, you know, it was totally different. My first main church was charismatic and there was a lot of lights and loud music and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But never did we hear about how to humble yourself and just let God, you know, take over and mold you. We didn't hear stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
Partly in some of the books I read, mm-hmm. yes, I did come to that understanding. And then it was through that, you know, as technology moved on, you know, back in the days and we didn't have the internet, etc. But now we have internet, we have mm-hmm. social media, and we're seeing a lot of what I can only describe as fast rising of pastors, ministers, apostles, whatever they call their names, mm-hmm. okay, in the form of females. And I'll name one because she's got a, you know, there's a video of her currently on YouTube, Juanita Bynum. And I watched a snippet of this interview that she was in, and she was talking about how she spent 14 years in a black hole. And for those of you who know Juanita Bynum, if you don't, you can look her up. But she was well known. She was in T.D. Jakes ministry,
mm-hmm.
and through ministering, particularly around, there was a well-known message that she preached called No More Sheets, particularly for young singles, about how to be single and content, etc. And that became well-known. And then she went on to minister more on the stage of T.D. Jakes and then established her own ministry.
Mm.
And then she became even more known when from single to becoming married, and everyone's like, wow, if God can do it for her, God can do it for me, and blah, blah, blah. And then we heard that the marriage was mm-hmm. over, and mm-hmm. a whole load of things came out of that, you know. And then people were like, is that the end of Juanita Bynum? Was she really a Christian? And was she really called? And so many things. But we're still seeing this kind of, well, all of a sudden, this sort of celebrity stance of ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know, pastors and ministers, you know, posting each day on their Instagram and in their Twitters and doing all sorts of things. And even though sometimes they can be sending out messages to do with the word and the scripture, and we see kind of the light and the celebrity status around them, living in big houses, driving certain cars, and, you know, it's mm-hmm. it kind of brings a false demeanor about ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then you get certain people. I mean, I've been around certain ministers where I've gone with them to certain churches, and it's been sort of, well, what do you mean I have to sit at the back? I'm sitting at the front. Don't you know who I am, type of thing. And I used to think, oh, okay, is that what ministry is about? Is that what you've got to do? And there is so much falseness out there.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Phyllis, what is going on?
Let me say this. I have seen Juanita Bynum's ministry when she began, and so blessed by that anointing, because so many people were delivered by those messages. And we have to remember that all of us, without exception, are still in the flesh. And because of that, we wrestle in the flesh. And, you know, we feel that because someone has reached a status, we esteem people higher than what we should esteem them. We're the ones that hold them up to an idol status. We do that. And, you know, we're not, we're the only one we're supposed to esteem and have adoration for is Christ. You know, he's the one that has called us into this faith we now walk in. You know, he's the one who established us and gives us the framework by which we're to live by. And unfortunately, we are always drawn to something we can see because it's more tangible. We can see it. We can't really see him. You know, even in his creation, we don't, we understand by Romans that we're supposed to be able to recognize God in the creation. But even later on, you see in the verses that we always hold even creation up. We worship creation, you know. And so we tend to do that. We hold men and women up to idol status. And I believe that when that happens, the enemy uses it as an opportunity to attack and to touch on those places that we have not really allowed God to deal with in our lives, because why God is using us, we really don't have the time. Yes, God, you know, I'll get to that when it's time. But God, I will say this, I believe that every individual that you've seen that we say has fallen or something, a shortcoming has been revealed, God has dealt with each one of us. You know, when God speaks to you about something, you can hide it all you want to. God has a way of revealing it to you, who you are. Just like he can give you revelation about someone else, he gives you revelation first about you. You know, when I'm in prayer, it's inescapable. I know when God is saying, Phyllis, this is you. Don't think it's somebody else. And we have a responsibility to lay it before the Lord and cry out and say, Holy Spirit, deal with me, because you're a comforter, you're the paraclete, but you're also my helper. I need help. You know, this thing is bigger than I am. It's taking control over my thoughts. It's taking control over my emotions. I need deliverance. You know, and when you come humbly like that, God will deal with you. Sometimes we feel that, you know, it's not important right now. God, I'm doing your work. I'm glorifying you. This is what's important. God said, no, because for the next phase, I need to deal with you about this. Because if you don't let me deal with it now, it's going to be a stumbling block to you in the future. And not only that, it is me they're going to be looking at, you know, and they're going to think, if God couldn't keep you, he can't keep me. You understand? But the thing is, God tried to. We have a free will. And I will say this, that God is a restorer. Let me say that. You know, once something happens in a person's life, we count them off. But see, there's intercessors in the body of Christ. And God will show these people, you know, I would watch different ministries and the Holy Spirit would tell me, pray and show me something that's going on. And so I would intercede for them. We need to get closer to God so we can cry out for these men and women that are in these positions, so that those strongholds can be broken over their lives and they can continue in the faith. The enemy's job is to undermine the gospel. And the media's job is to undermine the gospel. The world's job is to undermine the gospel. Because we serve two different gods. And because of that, we have to be very careful that when someone falls, not to help throw dirt on them and bury them. But say, God, you're a restorer of them that diligently seek you, and I'm seeking you on their behalf. Raise them up again. Because people forget about Jimmy Swaggart failed years ago, but he humbled himself, and look how God established him again. And yes, we fall many times, but I'm telling you, we fall, but God is able to raise you up again. So I speak that over them. You know, and those of you who are listening, who are writing in your critical reports and saying, oh, I knew it, I saw it, well, what did you do about it? Did you pray? No, but you had something to say about it. You jumped in when they fell. Sometimes it's jealousy. And we're right on it. Oh, I knew it. I knew it was phony. No, they did it in sincerity in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are subject. Just like the enemy took Jesus up, he was led of the Spirit. The Word of God says in the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. Mm-hmm. Well, when we are in ministry, when we are in this Christian walk, we like Jesus, every aspect of Jesus's life, we walk through those same things. Like the Catholic Church has the seven stations of the cross, seven things that Jesus walked through before he endured the cross. Well, we as believers, look at the life of Jesus. You're walking through that place where you are led of the Spirit into the wilderness and the enemy is tempting you. But unlike Jesus, many of us fall in those places, in those areas of temptation. But Jesus says, in like manner, he was tempted as you were without sin. Do you not know that the same Christ who was tempted like you are is not able to raise you up? Can he? Yes, he can. Mm-hmm. But the enemy makes you feel like you are worthless now. You've come so far. Who's going to raise you up? Jesus has abandoned you. That's not the word. That's not the word I look to.
Yeah.
He's a restorer. Wow.
Mama Phyllis is preaching, Pastor.
I'm trying to take notes here, mate.
Listen, I can't even take notes. I'm like trying to remember what she said.
Yeah, but we leave people. We leave people. We abandon them.
And I think we lose sight of the central, one of the central tenets, one of the central principles, central aspects of the Christian faith is redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were redeemed. We were bought back from the mess, the stink, mud. We were bought back and brought back. Every blessed one of us, every finger pointing one of us, every critical tongue one of us was, you know, redemption. We're beneficiaries of redemption.
Yeah.
You know, the hope that someone can be redeemed, someone can be bought back and brought back. And yet, sometimes, like you were saying, you know, we get into this thing of, we point, I knew it, this guy's useless, and you know, there's all sorts of people right through Christianity. I'm going to call his name, Israel Houghton. You know, Israel, you know, in my opinion, messed up. You know, again, I emphasize, in my opinion, I am not in possession of all the facts. In the little that I had, I'm like, dude, come on, you could have done better, should have done better. Like me. Like me. Could have done better, should have done better. Like me. So as far as I'm concerned, Israel, you know, because, yeah, look at the man today.
Yeah.
He's come back. He's, you know, he's like, he took, this is the important thing, though. He took his time out. He sat under people.
Yeah.
He listened to people, because sometimes people don't do that.
Exactly.
They continue, don't they?
That's good, because you know the thing about the word is, the word itself is a discipline. It can lead us, and it acts as that fine surgical knife of circumcision to cut away those things that are not useful in the kingdom. You know, and sometimes we hold on to those things, but you know, as you were saying, that redemptive quality is always there for us, and sometimes we need to have that well-beaten path at the feet of Jesus, because the more you humble yourself, the more he's going to raise you up. And you know, we are sometimes not only our worst critics, but you have people out there that you know. You know, one of the things I found in ministry, and Pastor Deji, we've talked about it before, you have no one in the ministry that when you are struggling that you can go to help you, who won't type it out and say, listen, I'm so-and-so's counselor, and I just, they told me, and go to the media, because they want their names in light. We need, as ministers, we need people in the body of Christ, other ministers that we can talk to and confide in, and who won't betray us. And unfortunately, we hold things, and God wants to trust you with the confidence of other brethren of the faith, and we don't know how to be that person that they can lean on.
That confident.
That's exactly right.
Also, what you mentioned, having that those teams of intercessors around you to intercede on your behalf.
They're crucial. Yeah. They're crucial, because Jesus himself demonstrated that he was an intercessor. He interceded on our behalf. John 14 and John 17, he interceded and he said, Lord, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those that you gave me. I'm praying for the body. You know, that not one of them that you've given me, this is what he said, it was an absolute, shall be lost. There you go, right there. Our confidence in him.
Amen.
But even it also works the other way, because you think about Jesus in that moment, that season, not moment, I say moment like it was, you know, instant. It wasn't an instant. It would have been God knows how long in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. He went to pray. Mm-hmm. And when he came back out, he rebuked his friends. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's that sense of, I need you guys spiritually mm-hmm. covering my back too. You're my intercessors. Mm-hmm. You're my inner crew. You're my ride or die. You're my homies. You're my you're my boys. You know, we're in this together. What are you doing sleeping? What are we doing? And I think that this is the issue, is too often, too many people in leadership have people around them who are just sleeping and sleepwalking, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. And some of them just want to be around them for the, like you say, the fame, the show, and their names on lights.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And lights.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good. Yes. That's good. And they want to do the whole, I was part of this, I knew too.
Yeah.
You know, we hear a thing of a lot of ministers who fall, male and female. You know, today, mm-hmm. today we're talking about a lot of women, but male and female who will fall. And then somebody will say, yeah, you know, I knew it in the ministry. I had my concerns, but I couldn't speak out because, and there's an excuse. There's a reason they couldn't speak out.
They end up being like Peter.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, that's so fine, because even those people that are listening to this need to understand that we all play a role. You might not be a pastor. Mm. You might not be evangelist or teacher. You might not hold the office of the fivefold ministry, but you have a ministry of hospitality.
Yes. Yes.
In that ministry, pray.
Mm-hmm.
When you see something going wrong, pray.
Yes. Mm.
So that God can use you to bring healing and restoration.
Amen. Wow. That's a great way to end today's show, I think. There are so many more questions and discussions we would love to have with you, Pastor Phyllis.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your knowledge
with us. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have part two on the next show.
Yes.
Definitely have part two on the next show.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you again. Let me add my voice as well. Those of you who are online, who've been listening, thank you for joining us on the show today. You have been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. And one of the things that we do right at the end of every show, we always remind you, please, please be mindful of yourselves and one another. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.